Boy, I'm glad he never fails, aren't you? Praise the Lord for it. Acts chapter 1, please, tonight. Acts chapter 1. I've got one more message in the book of Esther, God willing. Kind of sad, you know. We're actually concluding another series tonight. As I've told you in the past, I try to have three series going on at once. An Old Testament book, a New Testament book, and a topical series. We have just finished our New Testament book, which is the book of 2 Timothy, still praying about which direction the Lord would have us go next. We're just about finished with the book of Esther, and we're going to complete, God willing now, unless He lays another message on my heart, our topical series tonight, which is the series on Bible Mountains. And we've come to Acts chapter 1, and we begin our reading in verse number 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. If I walk off this platform, somebody come help me. Will you do that tonight? Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. I want to preach to you tonight on Mount Olivet. Taken right there out of verse number 12. Let's pray together. We share these simple thoughts with you. Our Father, we love you this night. We thank you for the privilege of opening your word again. Help us, Lord, never to get into a habit of adding or taking away from your word. Help us to simply open your word, and may you speak what you've already spoken. Help us to simply give what you've already given in the pages of your precious word tonight. Thank you, Lord, as we hold this King James Version in our hands, that we have the assurance that we hold the preserved, inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God in our hands. We thank you for it this evening, and I pray you help us to be faithful in teaching it, preaching it, and memorizing it, obeying it, giving it to others. May the will of God be done in this service. Help me, I pray. Lord, we give this service back to you. Thank you for giving it to us. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. The series of messages that we've been considering concerning Bible Mountains has been a blessing to study and to preach. Now, as we've been looking at these different Bible Mountains, we've been bringing out some lessons to apply to our everyday lives that can change us for the better. Now, it's not different in this mountain before us today. It's called Mount Olivet. Now, as we come to this portion of Scripture, we are reminded that the Lord Jesus Christ has been crucified and risen again. Now we see in context that these events are all associated around or on Mount Olivet in verse number 12. Because the Bible says in verse number 12, then after these things that he's just spoken, returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet. So we understand that as we bring out these thoughts tonight, We're associating these thoughts with this mountain called Olivet. Now, there's four thoughts I want to give you tonight as we look at this mountain together. And anytime you see the mountain mentioned in the Word of God, I want you to associate these four things with it. Now, the first thing we notice tonight, I'm going to be putting my glasses on and off tonight, some probably because my eyesight's worse than I realize. But anyway, number one, the first thing we associate with Mount Olivet is we associate, number one, the promise of the Father. Now, look with me back at verse number 4 of this same chapter. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Now, notice this, but wait, here it is, for the promise of the Father, which saith he, we have heard of him. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now we see the Lord Jesus Christ giving a word of encouragement to these disciples as he's speaking with them concerning their future ministry. He tells them to wait for the promise of the Father which they had heard of him. Now this promise of the Father tonight was the sending forth of the Holy Spirit of God. Now notice this promise in the Word of God. In John chapter 4, don't turn to it for time's sake, but in John chapter 14, verses 16 through 18, and then in verse number 26, it says this. Jesus said, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." John 15, 26. "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." Acts 2:33. "Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear." John 16:7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." As we consider the blessed Holy Spirit of God, the promise of the Father associated here with Mount Olivet, we're reminded of his ministry. Now, there are several things that the Holy Spirit does. Number one, I'm just going to mention them and go on. His ministry is to testify of Christ, John 15, 26. It's to glorify Christ, John 16, 14. It's to guide into all truth in John 16, 13. He is to convict of sin, John 16, 7 to 11. He is to quicken, John 6, 63. He is to inhabit the believer, John 14, 16. He is to teach us all things, John 14, 26. He is to be the pledge of our inheritance, Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. He is to fill the believer in Ephesians 5, 18. He is to communicate comfort to the saints in Acts 9, 31. He is to help our infirmities in Romans 8, 26. He is to intercede for the saints in Romans 8, 26 and 27. He is to impart hope in Romans 15, 13, Galatians 5, 5. He is to give assurance, Romans 8, 9, 14, 16, 1 John 4, 13. He is to empower Christians for witnessing, Luke 24, 46 to 49, Acts 1, 8. He is to edify the church, Acts 9, 31. The blessed Holy Spirit of God, he convicts, he converts, he changes, and he comforts. He is the blessed promise of the Father. Praise God for the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, the first thing we associate with the mount called Olivet is we associate the promise of the Father, the sending forth of the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you tonight, have you ever had peace come across your heart and soul? Peace that the world cannot take away and the world cannot give? That is one of the office works of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. I'm telling you, thank God for the third person of the Trinity. His name is the Holy Spirit. He is the promise of the Father. Second thing we associate with the mount called Olivet is not only the promise of the Father, but number two, the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, we know that the promise of the Father is the Holy Spirit. But the second thing we learn from this mountain is the power that comes with the Holy Spirit. We see this in verse number 8. "But ye shall receive power," dunamis, dynamite power, "after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Now, in this verse, we see the Lord Jesus Christ gives these disciples and us today a great work to be done. He tells them that they shall be witnesses unto him. And then he goes on to say, in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now we see here how the Lord Jesus Christ wants his gospel message to be sent next door and then around the world. See, this is a major undertaking. Humanity can never do this on their own. However, he precedes this statement. He precedes it. I'm talking about the statement, ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. We see there his will. But I'm going to tell you something. He precedes that statement by saying, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. This simply means that they were going to be giving the ability to get the job done through the Holy Spirit of God. In other words, in their flesh, they could never accomplish this command of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in the power of the Holy Ghost, they are more than able to get it done. And I'm telling you something, folks, it's the same way today. It is still the Lord Jesus Christ's desire for the world to be evangelized. I mean, he wants Jerusalem evangelized, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the earth. We all have a Jerusalem, we all have a Judea, we all have a Samaria, and we all have the uttermost part of the earth. And I'm telling you, in our flesh, we cannot do this great work. You can't do it in your flesh. But in the power of the Holy Spirit, we are more than able. Let us seek the power of the Holy Spirit of God upon our lives so we can be the most effective witnesses that we can possibly be. Let me tell you one reason the world's not evangelized. The power of the Holy Spirit is not being sought after. There's no doubt about it. Luke 24, 48 and 49, and ye are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. One day in New York, what a day it was, D.L. Moody speaking. He says, I can't describe it. He says, I seldom refer to it. It's almost too sacred to my name, right here, or it's almost too sacred to name. I can only say God revealed himself to me. I had such an experience of love that I had to ask him to stay his hand. I went to preaching again. The sermons were no different. I did not present any new truth, yet hundreds were converted. I would not be back where I was before that blessed experience. And what D.L. Moody is basically saying, he's saying he had an experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit of God filled him up fresh and new, and he was still preaching the same messages that he was preaching and maybe not seeing as many results. But when he was under the power and influence of the Holy Spirit, here came the converts. Now I'm telling you something. It's not in us. It's all in God. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that we need. It's the power of the Holy Ghost that you need for your marriage. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that you need to be a gospel witness. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that I need to be the pastor of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that I need to be the parent that God has blessed me to be. It's the power of the Holy Spirit of God that we need to get the work of God done in our lives. We are dependent people, whether you realize it or not. And what that means is you can't do it by yourself. Jesus said in the book of John chapter 15, he said, without me, ye can do nothing. Can I say something to you? We get in trouble when we think we can. Our marriages get in trouble when we try to handle it ourselves. Our lives get in trouble when we try to handle it ourselves. Our bus routes get in trouble when we try to handle it ourselves. Sunday school classes, when we try to handle it ourselves. I'm telling you, we are dependent Christians. We need the power of God. And what we associate with Mount Olivet is not only the promise of the Father, that's the Holy Spirit, but we notice the power of the Holy Spirit is what we need to get the work of God done. You know the old song, send the old time power, the Pentecostal power. We need that power tonight. No doubt about it. I hope you understand that. Then there's a third thing we associate with Mount Olivet. We associate the promise of the Father, the sending of the Holy Spirit. Aren't you glad that he sent the Holy Spirit? Amen. Second thing we associate with Mount Olivet, we associate the power of the Holy Spirit that we need to get the will of God done in our lives. Then number three, we notice associating with Mount Olivet, we see the parting of the Savior. The parting of the Savior. Look at verse number 9. The Bible says, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now, notice what verse 11 says. Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you, departing, see, he's departing from them into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Now, this verse tells us that he was taken up from them. He was taken away from them. And he was received out of their sight. Now, in this, we see in his body, he was parted from them. Now, the Word of God tells us where he is now. In other words, when he disappeared into the clouds and he was parted from them, what do we learn from this? What can we get from this? Well, Hebrews 12:2 tells us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. May I tell you that when he went into heaven, he had a seat at the right hand of God the Father. And this is the position of highest dignity. It's the position of highest honor. It's the place where he sat down as the triumphing conqueror of sin, death, and hell. His work of redemption had been completed, and he is sitting as King of Kings, and he's sitting as Lord of Lords. Hebrews 1:3 says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. 1 Peter 3:22, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Where is he tonight? He is seated at the right hand of the Father on high, and angels and authorities and powers are under his footstool. He is over all. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. And when he had a seat, what he was saying is, my work of redemption is now done. I have purged their sins. It is completed. It is finished. Nothing else needs to be done. Thank God when he parted from them, he had a seat beside of his heavenly Father. He is now interceding on our behalf. And because he lives, we shall live also. Philippians 2:9-10. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Where is he tonight? What does the parting of the Savior teach us? It teaches us that he is King, he is Lord, and even the devil himself will bow a knee to Jesus Christ some glorious day. Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost. Why is he able? Because he's sitting down. His work has been finished. He's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Thank God that Jesus Christ on that day was parted from them in the body, and he took his rightful place at the right hand of the Father. He's ever living to make intercession for you, and he's ever living to make intercession for me. And because he's interceding, I'm just fine. And so are you if you're saved. The fourth thing we associate with the mount called Olivet. Man, I'm flying tonight. I know what you're thinking. Don't get your glasses fixed, right? Number four, what do we associate with Mount Olivet? What's associated with it? Well, the promise of the Father. The Father was going to send the Comforter. When Jesus went, the Holy Spirit came. Praise God. I'm telling you, what a promise of the Father. Secondly, the power of the Holy Spirit. He's saying, I've got a work for you to do. You're going to be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He's teaching us we're dependent Christians. We need his strength to get his work done. Number three, we see the parting of the Savior. And what we see in that is that his work is finished. He is now ascended to the Father. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father. He is awaiting for his enemies to be put under his footstool. And I'm telling you, one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Then there's a fourth thing. I like how this message, it begins with a promise and it ends with one. What do you associate with Mount Olivet? You associate, number four, the promise of Christ's return. We see this in verses 10 and 11. Notice it. The Bible says, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, I like that phrase, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. You know, on this particular day, the Word of God tells us that while the people were looking toward heaven, now keep in mind, he's been teaching them, Mount Olivet, on Mount Olivet teaching them, he's been sharing with them these thoughts, and then all of a sudden his feet leave the ground, and he begins to ascend. Wouldn't you like to have been there? I mean, wouldn't you like to have just seen him? And he's going up higher and higher and higher. No wonder they say they were standing there gazing at the clouds. You would be too, folks, if you saw him fly, for crying out loud. Hallelujah. I mean, here he goes. He's just given you his command, his great commission, the promise of his Father, the power of the Holy Spirit. You're seeing him part from you right now. He's gone. Poof, he's gone. And the Bible says while they're standing there looking, two men in white apparel appear before them. And they say, what are you doing staring? Kind of a question like, what do you mean, what am I doing staring? Didn't you just see what I saw? And they say, listen, I've got a promise for you. This same Jesus that you have seen being taken from you, he's coming back again as you've seen him go. And I'm telling you tonight, that's a promise. And let me say this, God's promises are true whether the world believes it or not. He is coming back no matter what I believe. And he's coming back no matter what you believe. And he's coming back no matter what the world believes. I am convinced that if the world really understood the second coming of Jesus Christ, the world would not be in the shape it is today. I'm even talking about Christians. I'm talking about those who are born again. There are so many children of God today who are not right with God. They're doing their own thing, going their own way, living their own life, doing what they want to do, going where they want to go. And if they have time for God, then fine. But if not, the Lord understands. They really don't know the Lord when they think that way. You know, I'm glad tonight that the Bible says this same Jesus. I'm talking about the same one who walked on this earth. I'm talking about the one who cured blinded eyes, walked on the water, calmed the storm on the raging sea, the one who cleansed the leper by touching him, healed the cripple, died for the sins of the world, was buried and rose again, and ascended through the clouds. That same Jesus is coming back again. John 14:3, Jesus said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Mark 13:34-37 says this. It says in Mark 13:34, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, if ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Let me ask you a question. The way you're living your life, are you expecting his return today? I'm not asking you how many of you believe he's coming today, but I'm asking, are you expecting it? Are you looking for it? See, we have the mistaken idea, I believe it was Dr. Ron Comfort said he was preaching a revival message, and he was preaching apparently on the rapture of the church or something like that, and he had a lady come up to him, obviously older than he was, at this particular time, and she said this. She said, Dr. Comfort, the Lord may come in your lifetime, but he's not going to come in mine. See, here's the thing. You have some people who think they know more than the Bible does, and what they try to do is set a date. Can I say something to you? Anytime somebody sets a date, don't count on it, folks. Because the Word of God teaches no man knows, only the Father. But don't let that scare you away from thinking it could be today. By the way, if you're a child of God, you don't have anything to be afraid of. But it ought to motivate us to be all we can be for Jesus Christ. I'm telling you that this could be the last message I ever preach. The Lord could come back tonight. Are you watching for Him? Are you looking for Him? You cannot say you're watching for Him and looking for Him and living the lifestyle of a worldling. You cannot say that you're watching for Him and expecting Him today and you're not giving the gospel. You cannot say that you're expecting Him today, but you're not, you're not reading your Bible every day. You're not praying every day. It's impossible for somebody to say, I believe He can come today. I believe He can come today and live any way you want to live. That's an impossibility. So somebody says, oh, I believe He can come today. Show me your life. Show me your life. How are you living? See, the second coming. Now, we know it's in two phases. The rapture is the next thing on God's timetable, and no man knows when that's coming. It could come at any moment, the twinkling of an eye. I'm talking about any moment, any moment, any moment. And if He comes today, I don't want to be ashamed. Thank God if He comes today, I know I'm going up. I hope you do. But on top of that, boy, I would sure love to hear Him look at me. Can't you just imagine looking at the face of Jesus Christ for the first time? And He looks at you and He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'm telling you, is that your desire? But how many will be saved, yet so as by fire? Have no rewards, no crowns to cast at His blessed scarred feet. I'm not much, but I know this. I have a desire to do what God wants me to do. Because I know in my heart that He's promised He's coming again. It could be today. If it is, are we ready? Are we really ready? If not, you can be before you leave. Mount Olivet, the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit is going to come. And He already has. He's in you if you're saved. The power of the Holy Spirit, you need His power to get God's work done. The parting of the Savior, His work is finished. He is now seated at the right hand of God the Father. He's interceding for you and I, but He's already purged our sins. Our redemption is complete. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And then the promise, someday He's going to stand up. And He's going to split the eastern sky. And He's coming back just like He went. I'm looking forward to that day. I hope you are too. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Our Father, we love You tonight. We thank You for the teaching that surrounds Mount Olivet. Father, we thank You for Your promise and thank You for how You've kept Your promise of sending the Holy Spirit. Thank You for the power of the Holy Spirit that enables us and gives us the ability to get done what You've commanded us to do, specifically evangelizing our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost part of the earth. Thank You that You parted that day and You took Your seat at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And You're seated there tonight. You're interceding for us. And I thank You for Your intercession on my behalf and behalf of every born-again child of God. And we praise You tonight for the promise of Your soon coming. Lord, we know that a day is as 1,000 years, 1,000 years as a day with Thee. And Lord, we understand that You're very patient. And Your Word tells us in the New Testament that You are long-suffering, because You're not willing that any should perish. Help us to understand that today could be the day when You keep Your promise of coming back to this earth. Help us, Lord, to have our eyes fixed upon it. understanding and even expecting that today could be that day. Bless us, I pray. Guide this invitation in Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. I never want to take for granted that you're a child of God. Folks, when the Lord comes, if you've heard the gospel one time in your life, if you've rejected Him, it's over. You'll never be saved. The book of 2 Thessalonians teaches that. You might be here tonight on a Wednesday night and not for sure that heaven's your home. Oh, why don't you come during the invitation? Let us take a Bible, man with a man, lady with a lady, and share with you how you can know the Lord as your Savior. What a great night to trust Jesus Christ. Or maybe tonight you're a child of God. And you say, Jody, if Jesus came back tonight, I'd be ashamed. The Lord knows my life is not backing up what I say I believe. Oh, I know I'm a Christian, and I even believe He's coming, but according to my life, I'm not proving that. I'm not acting like that. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I want to ask you to respond in just a moment. Or maybe tonight you say, Jody, I teach a Sunday school class. My marriage is struggling, or I've got children we're trying to raise, or on my job site, or on my bus route, or as a staff member, or whatever the case may be, me as a pastor. You say, Jody, I recognize there's a great work to be done. And I understand that according to Mount Olivet, what was spoken when the Lord was teaching and guiding is that He was making it known that this great work cannot be done without the power of the Holy Ghost. Maybe you as a teacher, a bus captain, a Sunday school worker, a husband, a father, a wife, a mother, a grandparent, a child, a co-worker, whatever it is, you say, Jody, I know one thing. I need to spend more time on my knees begging God for His power. We all could respond to that, couldn't we? All of us. Maybe many of you will respond to this invitation and say, Lord, I'm coming forward to simply beg for the power of the Holy Spirit. I want your power. Help me to have your strength. What we're going to do, we're not going to sing. We're just going to play through tonight. I'm going to pray. We're not even going to stand. I just want you to remain seated. But if God is dealing with you about coming forward, I want you, when I say amen, to stand to your feet, come to this altar, coming and begging God for His power on your marriage, on your life, on your ministry. Standing and coming forward and saying, Lord, help me not to be ashamed when you come. Maybe some of you come and saying, I need to be saved. Whatever it is. Some of you just want to come and thank God for His promise that He sent the Comforter to you and how He's given you peace time after time. Whatever it is, let's do business with Him. Father, take this, use it in a great way in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. She's playing through. If God is speaking to you, would you leave your place? Would you come? Some have responded. Others are coming. Some need to come and say, I need God's power in my life. I need God's power to defeat that sin in my life. I need God's strength. I don't want to be ashamed when the Lord comes. He's speaking to me on Mount Olivet. This is the mountain that we've, God willing, we may conclude this series with this mountain, but what a way to conclude it, that the promise of the Father has come, and yet the promise of the Son is yet to be fulfilled. He is coming again. I don't want to be ashamed. Maybe some have responded. Maybe you need to respond and say, Jody, I want God's power. Have you in your seat right there say, Jody, that's what I want. I want the power of God. I'm not playing a game. I want His power. I really do. Raise your hand big in the air with mine. Would you do that? Why don't you pray right there in your seat? Would you make your seat an altar? You don't have to kneel on the ground, but as folks have knelt at the altar, why don't you pray right there at your seat and beg God for His power. Beg the Lord for His strength. I know one thing. I need it. I need the power of God. We all need it. We need Him. And He's available to give us the power we need. But He wants us to seek it. He wants us to go after it. He wants us to get with it. May the Lord give this to us. If you're still seated and you're done praying, I'd like you to look this way. If you're still praying, I want you to keep your head bowed and eyes closed. I finished a little early tonight, so I'm going to keep you a few more minutes. I don't like giving you any early exit. I'm kidding with you. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. What we need is the power of God. Sometimes I get up and preach and I feel God is right here with me, and other times I get up and it feels like He's not even in the building. Sometimes He does that on purpose. Because sometimes the times when I feel like He's nowhere near are the times when people respond. Let me tell you why. Because He's letting this old preacher boy know it's not you, buddy. It's all me. You can't do it on your own. I can't either. But He has the power we need. We need to seek Him for it. I'm convicted tonight, I'll be honest. I'm ashamed of the little time that I spend asking God for His power. Oh, I ask Him for it. I ask Him for it every day, really, the Lord helping me. But how much do I really seek Him for? You know what I mean? That's what we need. We're going to pray together and ask God. I want to just keep playing, but I want to ask God for His power upon this ministry. I believe His power's here, don't you think? I believe it is. My, how much more He wants to do. How much more power He wants to display. But He's only going to display it when He gets the glory, you see. See, if flesh is in the way, something great happens and flesh starts rising up. Look what we did. That's hindering His spirit. But if we're out of the way and we're emptied, and He knows that when He does something big, He's going to get the glory. He's going to get the praise. He's going to get the honor. That's when He shows up. Because He knows He's going to be glorified for it. Amen. This is what we need. Father, we love You tonight and thank You for Your goodness to us. We need You tonight. I stand in dependence upon Thee. I know in my flesh I cannot, but I know in Your spirit I can do all things. Help us to get out of the way. Help us to serve You. Help us to please You. Help us every day of our life to take a trip to Mount Olivet and hear those wonderful words that You proclaimed. Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And keep before us the thoughts and the words of those two men in shining apparel, white apparel. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that is taken up from you shall so come in like manner as you've seen Him go. Help us to know that today could be the day when we see Him. Help us, I pray. Guide our thoughts. Bless us. Use us. May the power of God be evident here in our marriages, ministries, all over this place. We give ourselves to You. And we need You. And we love You. Thank You for loving us. In Jesus Christ's precious holy name. Amen. It's good to be a Christian, isn't it? If you're going to the bus meeting tonight, I'm going to go ahead and dismiss you. And God help you. May you have a great bus meeting tonight. May it remind you to be in your place Sunday morning. If you can be here Saturday morning at 10 o'clock to help us knock doors, hope you'll show up. We're looking forward to it. I hope you are. And you pray for us. We're praying for you, praying for the church. God will meet with us in a great way. Let's all stand together. Shall we do that? And we've already prayed, so I'm going to go ahead at this time, and you are dismissed. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Shake each other's hands on your way out. Would you do that?